Hi, this is Anastasia Montejano, and welcome back to our third session of today's program. I am the creator of Visionary Leaders Breakthrough Program Series, a leader intuitive, and founder of the Conscious Reinvention Movement, where our vision is to see 1 million people move from career to mission by aligning with your destiny work. So we are in day 5 of our program, and if you are just joining us, you're realizing that we're continuing to prepare this program for you so that you know how you can lead a conscious reinvention in your life by identifying and aligning with your destiny path. This program is really about reawakening you to your own potential so that you can answer the call to your greatest work. You're being beckoned into a higher truth of who you are, why you're here, and what you came here to do. Just know that all is well. You are exactly where you need to be at this point in your life, and everything that matters to you is by divine design. So we're delighted to welcome people from all over the world that are joining us, from Africa to United States, South America to Europe, from Asia, Pacific Rim, and everywhere in between. We continue to feel your energy and your enthusiasm to say yes to the possibilities for your life. We are here in service to you, to support you, and to stand in the space for you so that you can make your conscious reinvention a reality and create the life you dream of. So we are now in, as I mentioned, our third class of the day. It has been a really rich program. I have taken away so many notes just from listening again to those interviews. I did have those pre-recorded, and you know, I thought I gained a lot from them the first time, but being able to listen to them again, there was things that struck me, and I had new impressions of how I could move forward on my own journey. So I know that you will find the same to be true for you. We are in our fourth conscious reinvention key, and that is the release theme, the release key. So just to give you an idea of where we've been this morning, if you're just joining us, I opened up the session talking about the release key and what that means and the role that pain plays in helping you to move forward and how you can leverage that. We also heard from Paula Langith Ryan on transforming your fears on the road to conscious reinvention. We just heard from Joe Lombolo, who shared with us how to dump the junk. I can't talk. I must need to get something to eat. Dump the junk, get what you want, and what wants you. And he finished out his session with a very powerful, about 10, 12-minute meditation that I would really encourage you to go back and listen to and maybe even use later, try to be able to use that as much as possible. It was really very powerful. So now, in this session today, we're going to be hearing from Shannon Burnett, who is really going to be talking to us about Dare to Live Challenge. She came up with this title as part of her own experience, and that's what we're really talking about here, using your own experiences, the things that you've been going through in life, both your talents and those painful experiences, and turning that around to be of service to others. And that's what she's done in her Dare to Live Challenge. There's a reason why it says Dare to Live. So she's going to talk to us about that. She's also known as a million-dollar Rolodex, and she's built an international community that is focused on helping small businesses grow through education, marketing, and cooperation. And then, as I've mentioned, if you have been with us, we are going to be closing out our day with a very special guest. Her name is Andrea Hyland. She is part of our Real Reinventions, Real Inspiration Spotlight, where we can bring folks just like you and I who are out there making an impact, making a difference in the world by being able to leverage and transform their pain and their experiences, align with their destiny path, and they're making a difference each and every day by doing that. So she'll be joining us, and you'll be able to hear how she transformed some really significant, painful experiences in her life to be able to be of greater service to others. Just one quick mention before we get into the interview. I do have meditations that we created out on the website. It's at Visionary Leaders, Leaders with an S, breakthrough.com, and we have a resource tab there if you do want to get to those immediately. Those meditations are really there to help support you through your process and help you break through some of the obstacles or limitations that may be keeping you back. So once we get through the interview, I'll be coming back to help share and welcome in Andrea to the program. So let me go ahead and get started so you can hear Shannon Burnett's incredible story and some of the results, the resulting techniques and nuggets of wisdom that she's brought forward to help us on our journey. So let me introduce the next teacher in our program. We are so very fortunate to have Shannon Burnett with us today, who has an incredible... What I love about the program that we've been able to put together is we have real people, real stories, real inspiration, and then people who have obsessed. They have reinvented their lives. They can help guide others through the process. And Shannon is an excellent example of that. So let me give you a bit of background about Shannon before we dive into our discussion. She is known as the owner of an exclusive million-dollar Rolodex, and she has successfully attained over 3 million, yes, you heard it, 3 million in free e-press. She's taught hundreds of people to do the same. She spent 10 years building an international conscious business community focused on helping small businesses grow through the education, marketing, and cooperation. She's a master at creating strategic alliances and developing sustainable partnerships, and has an amazing ability to resolve multiple complex issues while motivating teams to peak performance. She's appeared on television, radio, and in the press, and has co-authored the Amazon number one bestseller, Law of Business Attraction, The Secret of Cooperative Success, with T. Harv Eker of The Millionaire Mind. So welcome to the program today, Shannon. We are delighted to have you here.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about... Oh, sorry. I know we have a little bit of a delay, so I'm going to be very sensitive to that. Thanks, Shannon. I appreciate that. Today we are going to be talking about the release theme, the number four theme in our conscious reinvention model. And that is all about what is keeping me stuck, what things, people, or places no longer serve me, and what limiting beliefs are holding me hostage, or what am I resisting letting go of? And Shannon, you have an incredible story. I know that you are very willing to share today about going from cash crash to conscious creations. Would you be willing to share with our listeners, you know, what your story is, what's your background, and how did you come to do the beautiful work that you're doing today?
Well, I've had many opportunities to be a part of reinventing myself, but the most recent one, you know, most people would consider at the top of my game. I had was producing Florida's largest conference, holistic conference and self-empowerment conference, and just before that had an intuitive come up to me and say, you know, you need to go see an OBGYN immediately. And when I, you know, was really busy at the time and too busy to go, and then the day of the conference in front of like 250 people, she said it again. She said, Shannon, this is really serious. You need to go in and see an OBGYN. And I ended up going in afterwards and found out that I had a tumor 22 and a half by 18 centimeters. And
wow.
At the same time, started just really feeling this financial stress, you know, stress of my company, stress of, you know, the economy, really things shifting in my world. So that was the beginning of really transforming and looking at areas where I wanted to hold on to an image, hold on to a belief around being too busy, really looking at areas in my life where I wasn't necessarily walking my talk.
So what happened from that point on?
So from that moment on, I continued, and I love that you're doing this segment on release, I continued to hold on to this belief that in order for me to have value, I had to continue doing the work that I was doing, and in order for me to be successful, it had to be performed or produced in the same fashion, which was very high stress, and also I had this belief that because I was so connected to a holistic community, that if I was ever to get sick, I would be, you know, I could go to a healer. I could go, I knew all these resources. I knew people that got rid of MS. I knew people that got rid of cancer, AIDS. And so I just was being not really, I guess, fully present with how to take care of myself. So in that moment, shortly after that, I ended up having to close my company down, laying off. I had 21 people on my payroll, and that summer ended up calling my sister after my kids got out of school, going, I don't know how I'm going to care for my children. Would you be okay keeping them for a month until I got on my feet? And not really knowing how, I just knew that, you know, somewhere, as I shared with you earlier, it was like I was still holding on to, you know, I'm going to make this work.
Yeah.
And during that time, I just kept getting, you know, I kept meeting people and connecting with you know, this place of letting go but not wanting to. So November, I had met Dr. Gary Knoll that year, and in November he called me and he said, I want you to be a part of a documentary film where we are picking 12 people to go and live on his ranch for a month. And at the time I'm thinking, you know, I can barely survive now. I'm having a hard time taking my kids. You know, a lot of people don't, they thought I was still successful. They, you know, I wasn't being vulnerable and letting people see what was going on. But he, you know, he knew. And he said, Shannon, the only way things are going to change is if you really step out of what you think, you know, you've got to get down to letting go of all your beliefs of what you're doing, you know, beliefs of what your work is and who you are and how you function. And so Spirit told me, you know, we're going to make it work, and I ended up going and living on the ranch for a month and just changing everything, changing my diet, changing my, you know, we watched documentary films every night on fear and on letting go and how to be happy, read a book on living in the moment, and lots of time to just continue to release, let go of those beliefs around who I thought I was. And but still, you know, wanting to, seeing this tumor as a message, seeing it as a way of healing. And so the beginning of that year, when I got out of the retreat, I had to integrate back into life, which was like really, you know, interesting. And that beginning of the year, I did a declaration saying, I'm going to take this year and live as if it was my last. And, you know, if I had a year to live, what would I do? And who would I want to spend time with? And who would I, you know, what would I do? What would I stop doing that's not so important? Because when I met Gary, he said, you know, your tumor is one thing, but if you don't get this, you're going to have a heart attack in 10 years. And I just, you know, having two young children, I was like, wow, I want to see them have grandkids someday. And I have, you know, things I want to do on earth. And so I did that and started being very mindful of what I was doing, and but still holding on to this business concept, still holding on to, you know, that mindset but making plans as if, you know, some of the dreams of the bucket list. I mean, you've probably seen that movie, The Bucket List, of like, what do you want to do? And on my bucket list was to travel across the United States with my children. You know, I always wanted to go see the Grand Canyon, Mount Rushmore, and I have all my family in Washington State, and I'm in Florida. And so it kept getting closer, and I don't know if you've ever tried to barter with God.
Sometimes on a daily basis.
Sometimes, you know, I was like, okay, God, if you really want me to do this, then, you know, this piece of artwork is going to sell. Or if you really want me to do this, this piece of jewelry is going to sell. And it wasn't happening. And one day I'm riding in the car, and I shared with my kids, you know, about the trip. And my son says to me, Mom, when we go and do this, you know, and he's just going on and on for like 5 minutes with all this excitement. And this place in my heart, like, it just sunk. It was like, oh, my gosh. It will be so devastating to say no to him. And so I one of my key things is I think we all need accountability partners. You know, I love swapping coaching with people. There's things that I, you know, I think everybody needs a coach. And I had a coach that I was working with at the time, and I called her, and she said, you know, I said, I can't tell my son no. And she goes, well, let's think of ways that we can do this. And I'm like what? She goes, well, why don't you do videos? People love following reality videos. And I'm like, yeah, right. Who's going to want to follow a reality video? And how is that going to make money? You know, how is that going to help me with the trip? She goes, I don't know. Just be open to the universe and, you know, let go of your old ideas and just see what's possible. And another key thing, Anastasia, is I think that we want to surround ourselves with people that dream big, that really believe in us, that even when we may be thinking things aren't possible, that they can open and expand our mind. And so I'll find that at church. You know, I have a Zen teacher, and I ended up calling my Zen teacher, and he said, you know, he quotes a verse in the Bible where even the birds are taken care of, like God provides for everybody, or source, you know, where that is for people, provides for everybody. And I'm like, okay, but he's not selling that piece of jewelry, so, you know, how is this going to happen? And then we have a wonderful church here called the New Way, and I ended up calling the minister there, Reverend Sue Bailey, and she goes, well, why don't you put up a PayPal button? And I, you know, I'd be your first one to donate. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And I left Florida, Anastasia, with $100 and two kids on a journey across the United States.
Wow.
And my commitment was to, you know, not beg, to live this healthy lifestyle, because I knew in order to release some of this tumor, you know, yes, there's the emotional component, which I absolutely believe in, but there's also this nutritional component of taking care of myself, loving myself, nurturing myself, taking time for yoga, taking time, you know, for me on this journey, and also interviewing people and inspiring them to do the things that maybe they're not doing now. And so on this journey, you know, the first stop, leaving with $100, it was so cute. My kids were like, Mom, you know, we can sleep in the car tonight to save money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, honey, we're not staying in the Hilton like we might, you know, or the Westin we might be used to, but we're going to stay in a hotel and we'll be safe, we'll be taken care of. And that morning we ended up interviewing a guy in Alabama, and it was just so, you know, I know we touched his life. He shared things that he wanted to do. You know, I would go see my family if I had a year to live. We just kept asking people, if you had a year to live, what would you do? What would you do differently? And just doing that. And so in me, what I was watching, the next stop was in Texas, and my cousin works for an oil company, very wealthy, and I didn't tell him about the journey. I didn't tell him I was struggling. So here I was still holding on to that perception of wanting people to see me a certain way. The things that were going through my head is, I don't want him to see me as, you know, begging, or I don't want him to see me as needy, or I don't, you know, all this crazy stories around it. And so I left there, and my coach was like, you just share your story. Let him be moved by it. But I was holding on to those things. So along the journey, we're doing videos, we're posting them up. People just, you know, people were contributing, you know, whether it was $10 or, you know, I had a family member contribute $100, and plus I'm getting a few coaching clients, people that I was still working with. So money was still trickling in on this journey, and we get to the Grand Canyon, and that day, I don't even know how I'm going to get into the Grand Canyon. I'm like, oh my gosh, I came all the way across the country. How am I going to get in?
Oh, that's amazing. Wow. You're doing all this, and little by little, things are just opening up. Okay, keep going.
Things are opening up. So the big opening, and this is where the big aha was, and this is where I we ended up going to the Grand Canyon, and I got to watch myself. I love, you know, I think there's so many messages on what's going on in my body and what's going on in my thoughts. And at the time, you know, like I watched myself go into this total panic. And I kept having to, you know, affirm, God is your source. God is your source. And ended up, you know, going to the Grand Canyon. And I knew money was coming in the next day. And they said, oh, yeah, you know, we'll take a check. And it goes in the bank on Monday. So we ended up going to the Grand Canyon. And that was just huge opening for me and the kids. I mean, the kids' interview was just, that day were just so beautiful, sharing you know, part of the journey. And I left there heading to Las Vegas, and this was the big aha, and this was the big transformation, and this was the big turnaround. There were so many moments there. I'm a part of an organization that's 20 years old where CEOs come together to help each other. So whether you have a napkin idea or you don't even have a job, there are these executives that believe in cooperation, and we come together five times a year to help each other and support each other with our dreams and visions. And it's there's no other organization on the planet. And I didn't go for 2 years because I didn't think I was worthy. And before I left to Florida, a friend came into town and he said, "Are you going to CEO space?" And I kind of laughed and I'm like, "I'm not going, you know, what do I have to do there?" And he goes, "You got to go." And it ends up that my journey crosses that path the weekend that it's there and I can attend for free. So I get there and I'm pulling in, and on the way there, I'm like, I don't know where we're going to sleep, and, you know, somebody calls, and there's miracle after miracle. We get there, and that day, my kids are, they do a thing where it's a high-performance networking, and you can ask for whatever you want, and, like, miracles happen. So my kids are musicians, and they had done this work because they wanted to raise money for guitars and musical instruments. And my son comes back, and my son goes, "Oh, my gosh, Mom, I raised $88 for the guitar, and, you know, this is going to go to the homeless," because he always helps with the homeless. And my daughter comes back, and she goes, "Mom, I didn't raise any money, but I got a job." And I'm like, "You got a job?" She goes, "Yeah, I got a job." And so she goes up. We go upstairs, and lo and behold, the guy is serving food and helping people because the hotel's so expensive, the food, that he just wants to help people be able to do it. So here I was, worried about food, not knowing how I'm going to take care of my kids, but still, you know, trying to be positive and upbeat and a part of this organization, and you know, that part works out. But the big turning point for me, Anastasia, was the publisher of my book was there, and I had not told anybody. Like, you could watch the videos, but nobody, there was maybe 10 people that really knew the rock bottom that I was at, because, again, I wanted to keep this facade. And the publisher that night, I ended up sharing with her everything. Like, I pulled up on fumes, this is what's going on. She was in tears, and she was laughing at the same time, and she literally mapped out, by me being vulnerable, she mapped out how I could go out and make $80,000 over the next year. I mean, it was beautiful. She was like, "And I want to help you." And I was so moved by being safe and not being judged and being loved and being accepted that I went upstairs and I told my closest friend. And my closest friend said, "You need to go tell this guy." And I'm like, "I don't know who the guy is." And he goes, "You need to go talk to him. He needs to hear your story." And I went over there, and after I was done sharing it, he goes, "I want to hire you." And I literally looked at him and I said, "Did you not hear my story? I'm broke." he goes, "I don't care. I know who you are. I know who you are, and I know what you're capable of. This is just a transition, and I need you. I need you with my business, and I want to help you." So those moments of having, you know, being vulnerable, like letting go of that story, yeah, of who, you know, who I had to be, and if I'm not successful, I'm not worthy of going. I mean, there were so many things that you know, the one thing I would want people to get is just, it like took me a 2x4 to be able to let go of some of the stuff of God going, "Okay, let me just take everything from you so that you can really see that you have value." You know, money doesn't make you who you are. Your business doesn't make you who you are. You know, God provides you for you, and at the essence of who you are, your love, your compassion, and you have everything you need. And so that was the beginning. That was like that. That was the rebirth for me. And I remember that that night I left and I stopped by Taco Bell, and people were like, "How can you eat healthy at Taco Bell?" But I was getting refried beans, onions, and tomatoes. And I drive a Mercedes. And what do most people think when they hear Mercedes? Anastasia, what do you think when you hear the word Mercedes?
Luxury,
Mercedes,
quality, expensive repair.
and my thing is I think that people have money. You know, if somebody drives a Mercedes, I automatically go, okay, they've got money.
They've got money.
And yeah. And so I drive up, and I had, you know, $10 shoved under my leg, and it was like my last $10, and I'm looking for it. And the lady in the drive-thru goes, "Oh, don't worry about it. It's Sunday. It's on me." And I looked at her and I went, "What?" And she goes, "Oh, it's Sunday. You know, it's on me. Don't worry about it." And this is where I got to see where I had challenges with receiving. I said, are you sure? She goes, yes, I'm sure. And I left there just crying, going, oh, my gosh, I would have judged. I would have totally judged somebody. And I don't know if I would have given as much. And I went back the next day and interviewed her, and she was just in tears. She had no idea. You know, Spirit had guided her to just give that. And she had no idea that she was a part of, like, transforming my beliefs and transforming and inspiring so many other people, you know, through the video and such. So that's been my journey. We ended up going up to Washington, ended up making it back. And I have to say, I live now with so much more certainty than ever. Now, I don't encourage people, go quit your job, go end your relationships. You know, you got to be mindful. The Dare to Live challenge is, you know, I had great stories of people doing those things, but it was really about daring to live and doing those things now that maybe you wanted to do, but you had excuses of why it wasn't possible. So.
Wow, Shannon, you know, you said so many things that are, I just want to pause for people listening, because first of all, Shannon, you came on and you're being authentic, you're being real, and what really helps other people move forward is hearing other people's stories and say, well, they could do it. You know, she was in a place where if you looked at you, you would have thought, well, she's got it all. But yet all of us, there's sometimes a different story behind what may be appearing, you know, on the surface. And so I know there's people who are probably in the situation where they have what appears to be everything and things are crumbling on the inside, or they have this facade of, you know, we had this because we had it one time, but it now seems to be slipping away, and they're trying to hang on. And, Shannon, your story has so eloquently given people the reminder it's okay. And we know, especially with these conscious reinvention principles, that if things are crumbling around you, it's part of a divinely orchestrated plan. You may not be going through it as extremely as Shannon has, but whatever is happening in your life, it's really offering you the opportunity to just let go of those things. You've heard her say that a couple times. She was holding on. And yet when she let go and she allowed others to kind of come into her life and to receive that, then she was able to move on. And, you know, part of that bridge in this particular theme, you said it, I don't know if you even realized it, is let go of your story. You are not your story. You are not your limited beliefs. You are not the things that haven't worked for you. You are divine opportunity, and that's an incredible place to be, especially if you think of how Shannon has dared to live. You know, what would you do if you only had 1 year to live? So wonderful. So if we then move on now, we kind of take us in, how has aligning with the work you've done today, how has it impacted your life today? Is it anything like you thought it would be?
No, I mean, it's an everyday journey. I mean, every day I'm having to go, okay, what, you know, God, please grant, give me the courage to let go of that which doesn't serve me anymore, whether it's beliefs or thoughts or even relationships, whatever that is, and also just being really thankful for the little things, and thankful for each moment. And I have to say, I'm more into creating more remarkable moments with people than I am stuff ever before in my life. I mean, I've never had a ton of stuff, but I have to say, I would rather go and spend time with people I love and care about on a journey, on a trip, or, you know, at a workshop or something than I would attaining stuff. So today I just look at each day of how do I create a remarkable moment. And a remarkable moment doesn't have to be, you know, a big dare to live, travel across the country. It could be, you know, just being present with even, you know, your these series that you're offering, going, okay, every day I'm going to create a remarkable moment by listening to these series, giving myself this gift. Or today I'm going to, you know, take 5 minutes to connect with my child and listen. So remarkable moments are all around us, but I just had to learn to be more present with them and create, you know, be a part of that creation. And also putting my health first, you know, I went to yoga this morning, and I love connecting with nature and not holding on to that story of I'm too busy or if I don't work hard, I won't have money. I mean, that's another thing where I'm constantly, and I'm 100 times better, but going, okay, God is my source. You know, the more I take care of me, the more he takes care of me.
Mm. And you've said, you know, that part of what came out of this is your desire to inspire others to live an incredible life, and I know that you're doing that. And that can look different for all of us. Some of us, it may be working with someone one-on-one. It could be something on a very global scale. Whatever it is for you that's calling out that dream, that passion, that purpose that's in, within you, that's perfectly right for you. And it can show up, this is, as Shannon has indicated, in those really quiet moments. So I think part of what we want to offer you to consider today is what would success look like to you if you said, you know, I only had a year to live. What would that joyous, purposeful, meaningful life look like to you? And what's holding you back from actually going forward and making that happen? So let's kind of shift gears then, Shannon. I know that you have what's called an exclusive million-dollar Rolodex. Tell me about that. What is that?
Well, I feel like I've been, and one of your speakers, Amanda Rose, was the one that she goes, Shannon, you just, every time I talk to you, your resources and your network, she goes, you have the exclusive million-dollar Rolodex. And then she goes, we gotta say that. I just have been this magnet, and some of it's been the work of personal development and holistic health and what my business was of, you know, doing conferences and building the international network, but been a magnet for amazing people. I've, you know, worked with T. Harv Eker, friends with Dr. Gary Knoll. I've worked with a number of people from The Secret. And so I've just been, and some of it I think was to also heal me on, along my journey. It's like I feel like everybody, even if they're not a celebrity, has come into my life, and I think in everybody's life as either a catalyst or a student or a teacher. And I kind of look at each encounter in that capacity.
Mm. And so with this exclusive millionaire Rolodex, how are you using that to inspire others to live a better life?
Well, one of the things that I do is I always jump full-fledged into what their work is if I believe in it, and then I love sharing it with others. You know, I've worked with, like, Stuart Levine, who is a gentleman that does agreements for results, and all, you know, I ended up promoting his work. I just do what I can to share very valuable resources with others and use it myself. I mean, one of the key things is, we can go to a workshop. I can go to a workshop, but if I don't implement in my life, then the change may not happen.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you are actually, you live what you talk, because I know you connected me with Amanda Rose, and through Amanda Rose and this idea of cooperation, you brought several people to this series who have been very impactful, really, that'll be masterful teachers in this program. So thanks back to you, Shannon. It was all part of you reaching out and saying, here, you know, here's an idea, here's someone to connect with. So thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for being open to that, because there are, and everybody, I think everybody has a story to share.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you've just been really, you've just connected with them right away, and I think that this series that you're doing is life-changing, and I think it's really important for people to give themselves this gift of taking the time to listen and take it in. So kudos to you.
Oh, thanks so much, Shannon. So tell me a little bit about the Dare to Live Challenge, and what is it, and how could people actually connect with it?
So we've got, you know, one of the things that we have the Facebook page now, and if you just go to daretolivechallenge.com. And so it's just following these interviews and really asking people to that question we've been asking throughout this is, if you had a year to live, what would you do? And I, you know, was blessed to, with my Zen teacher, do I call it the death meditation. That's not very appealing, but he has a different name for it. But literally taking time, you know, I did an hour session with him one time, and we kind of worked backwards of if, you know, I had 12 months to live, what would I do? If I had 11 months, what would I do? And sitting with each thing for a few moments, if I had 6 months, and working all the way back to if I had a week, if I had 6 days, 1 day, you know, 12 hours, 1 hour. And that process really, it was the quickest way to get me to release those things that weren't important in my life and focus some light on what was. So just invite people to take time to do that. And again, I keep bringing it back to the health and loving and nurturing yourselves. I know there's so many people that they've dedicated their lives to their children or their husband or their wife or their work. And I had a great teacher, Dr. Linda Hull, and when I had my kids, she said, the number one thing you can do to be a good mom is put you first. Because when you go on those women's retreats or you go and do certain things that make you a better person, it is a ripple effect on your children. And I see it time after time after time how true that is. So the more we care for ourselves, the more that overflows into the people that we care about. It's actually opposite of what we think, you know, or what I was programmed. Let me say it for myself.
Now, that's very true, and I think it's very easy, especially if you're in North America, the United States, where we have this supermom mentality where we have to kind of do it all, and sometimes we're doing it all by ourselves, and our kids are really scheduled, and we've got all our schedules, and trying to combine all that, I think a lot of people get lost. So is there any ways, you know, as you move through this, is there anything that helped you to really say, okay, I know I need to do this now, I am going to do that? Is there anything that helped you move from that gap between thinking about it and actually doing it?
Yeah, I mean, it was finding something, two things. It was one, you know, looking at the pain, wanting to avoid the pain of death and that, but really connecting in community. Really connecting with people and asking for help. I mean, asking for support, aligning with, I mean, at one point in my life, Anastasia, I had 9 coaches. And I really can't say enough that we need that support system. And I was scared to ask for help at times. I was scared to be vulnerable, but it's, the action steps when I, you know, when I tell you, okay, Anastasia, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to go and power walk 10 miles this week. And when I have that accountability partner or that coach, that definitely on top of, you know, wanting to be healthy, wanting to be around and for my children really helped me take the action.
You know, I'm really feeling led to kind of go back to maybe some of what you've learned at the ranch when you went there, and feeling just impressed that maybe many people are in that space where they aren't taking care of themselves, and part of that release might actually be the release of, you know, the thought that I'm not important enough or I don't have enough time. Are there any key principles that you learned or approaches that you learned at the ranch, or even walk us through maybe what that looked like as you moved through that process from coming in from ground zero, knowing I'm not so healthy here, to when you left? What happened during that time for you?
Well, what he identified, it wasn't only the health, but I also had severe workaholism. And I justified the workaholism with I love my work and I love what I do and I'm making a difference in the planet. And so I worked from 5 in the morning until 1 in the morning. I mean, I loved what I was doing. So in my mind, I justified it as being okay, and it was a definite form of being a workaholic. And so when I got in there, there was 12 of us, and I think one of the beginning pivotal points was we were in the gym, and he's going through the protocol for working out in the gym. And I've never been much in the gym. I had my own story around that. And he says, who has weak abs? And some girl gets on, and then he goes, no, Shannon, I want you to do it. And he has on this tilted machine, he goes, okay, go ahead and do as many, and he shows us how to do it as you can. And so I'm doing them, and I'm doing them, and my legs are hurting, my stomach's burning, and I'm doing them until I'm totally done. And he comes over, and he shows me his watch, and it says 2 minutes. And I went, oh, that's not very long. And he looks at me, and he goes, see how your mind goes right to the dark side. He goes, you just did 2 minutes, and your mind went right to the dark side. He goes, you got to stop that. And so then he goes, let me show you the power of energy. And he goes, you guys are here on the ranch to plug into my energy, to plug into the energy of the land, to plug into the energy, you know, of music, whatever it is. There's energy in everything to help you move beyond what's happening. And so he goes, let me show you how that works. He goes, because the goal is when you get here, you can be sustainable on your own energy and not necessarily have to plug into it. So then he comes over and, you know, they turn on some music and he starts doing some energy work with me. And he goes, okay, Shannon, I want you to go again. And so I'm, you know, again, mind you, I was at my max. Like my body said, no, you cannot do any more. And I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going, and I'm going. And finally I stop, and I'm at the end, and he shows me his watch. I did another 8 minutes.
Wow.
8 minutes. So that was the breaking ground for my mind to go, okay, Shannon. So there was days on the track where, you know, we just power walk. He's not into – he does marathons and stuff, but he's like, you can work so much more by power walking. And I'd be, you know, 3 miles in going, oh, I can't do anymore. And, you know, just looking at how the mind wanted to take me out, and I would let it. But if I, you know, plugged into the other energy or also really did self-talk around it, it would work through. I mean, Gary is just remarkable. He's taught me so many lessons of, like, you know, how he works through marathons. One of the things that he taught me was before he's going to do something, he will sit in meditation and work and kind of act it out in the meditation. And so, like, I was getting ready to do a speaking gig, and he said, so work through what happens and see what comes up. He goes, you may fall on the stage. You may fumble up. He goes, but if you work that out before you actually go on stage, you won't be creating it because you've let your subconscious work through those details ahead of time. And so I learned a lot about just also sitting and being and taking that time to let that dark side come out, because we all have it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And doing it in a more constructive way that won't show up in, I guess we call it, the third dimension.
And so that term dark side, is that something you're just referring to as, you know, those negative thoughts that we have?
Well, he has a movie called Overcoming the Dark Side, and Dark Side, he talks about genocide, he talks about the thoughts, he talks about killing. I mean, Dark Side is, for me, that showed up as the negative thoughts, but it encompasses a lot of different areas of the world.
Mm.
So it's a great, I mean, he's got Debbie Ford in it, it's a phenomenal, Bruce Lipton. A great movie, Overcoming the Dark Side.
Okay, so if anyone's listening, if that's of interest to you, Overcoming the Dark Side, definitely check it out. But I'm also hearing you say that by being able to take some of this, even meditation and focusing your thoughts and energy, you're using that in your business today as a leader. Is there other ways, other examples you can give those listening to how you might use some of those principles in your business on a day-to-day basis?
So I definitely, if I get to that place of where I can't, the other thing that Gary says is that we live in a yes universe. You know, he's like, anything is possible, and just really being aware of where my mind might say, well, no, I can't do that, or no, I need money to do that, or no, I need this to do that, and all those no's, When I just tell my mind and sit in meditation or work through asking that question, how can this be possible? It's amazing. Or not even how it's going to be possible. It's like, it is possible. It's amazing what shows up and how that will work out. So, definitely identifying, you know, we live in a yes universe. Working through our stuff through meditation, allowing the visualization to come up, holding the, and then holding the vision of what is good. I mean, one thing he says in marathons is, like, he runs, and one time he started getting a shin splint or whatever, the, you know, when runners are running and it kind of hurts their leg, and he goes, most people, they'll focus on, oh my gosh, I'm not going to finish the race, and their mind automatically goes to this pain and challenge, and so then he'll use the visualization from previous of how it worked and how he got through the finish line and holds that vision, and the pain goes away. And so it's the same thing in vision in business. It's like I'll hold that vision of what I see happening, and if things come up, I just, you know, keep clear on the target, I guess, to say.
Yeah. So as people move into their Dare to Live challenge themselves, I'm also hearing you say that by being aware of our thoughts, being aware of how we're caring for our bodies, being aware for how we're providing for our bodies, even nutritionally, all of those things can really make a difference in how we do live, how we actually can dare to live and show up, and to know that it is possible. I think that's a wonderful thing you just said, that we live in a yes universe. And instead of automatically discounting it, for those listening, we can say, well, why not? What is possible? You know, maybe you've been called and people have told you your dream. If you've shared it with someone, maybe they have said, well, that's ridiculous. But here you're hearing from Shannon that, well, why not? You know, what is it you want to do and why not? We live in a yes universe. It is possible. It is. So let me delve a little bit deeper into how does the yoga or the work that you do that way actually help with you daring to live and focusing as a leader in business? Because you've mentioned that as well.
You said yoga, is that right, and what I'm doing?
Yeah, because you mentioned you actually went to yoga this morning and you're incorporating some of those practices, those disciplines in your life. How does practicing yoga help you?
Well, it's funny, when I went on the ranch, I do yoga here and there, but we did it every other day, and it took me about 3 months to get to where I am. What it's done to me, it's therapy. And I never realized that one day I went in and I had a friend there, and my friend, you know, my neck's hurting, and all those reasons why we wouldn't go do something, all those excuses I was talking about of, you know, my knee's hurting, or I've had 7 screws put on my shoulder, and this is true. All those excuses, I've just found that particularly yoga is that therapy. It is that way of helping me live and breathe and be at my potential. And it's funny, I've been on the road for a little bit, and my mind again wants to beat me up, going, well, you haven't done yoga for a few days. And what happens is the body remembers and it knows what it knows, and so it just can real easily align. I think, I don't know about you, Anastasia, I don't know your practice, but many times if I get off track, that dark side of that mind comes in and wants to beat me up, and I just have to remember, you know, just make that best choice now. Just make that next best choice today. And so it's allowing me to attract more. I mean, I'm working less and I'm making more money than I have in years. And I sometimes I want to pinch myself going, is this really possible? and it was that letting go and taking care of myself. And you know, even this last week, Anastasia, you know, I have one contract ending and I caught myself going in this little bit of a tailspin, and I kept going, Shannon, you know that God is your source, and it doesn't mean, you know, just thinking it's going to come. I mean, I love The Secret, but you have to take action, and you have to take care of yourself. And then, you know, yesterday I just got another contract. So it's really beautiful how when I have the practice of yoga, and Gary believes in the 3 pillars of exercise, which I think is great, and one is spiritual, so that could be yoga, Tai Chi. You know, he also promotes meditation, which I think is really key, some sort of cardio, and then resistance training, whether it's weights or something. So taking that time for myself, the more time I give myself, it seems like the more other gifts come unexpected.
I think that's a beautiful principle, and it's a theme we're actually going to be hearing much more throughout this particular program. The more you take care of yourself, the more you can spend time and be centered and aligned with exactly what it is you're to do and feels right for you. You've just heard her say, you know, you can actually work less and have it show up much more easier. And it sounds counterintuitive. I know, we've been taught you've got to work hard, put in the hours. And yet when you're practicing and you're finding that balance, mind, body, spirit balance, those things actually start to show up, those miracles. And especially as you start to align with your path, those miracles will start to show up, and all sorts of abundance will start to show up as well. And abundance doesn't necessarily mean having a bank full, chock full of money. It does mean, although that can happen, but it also can be every need I have is taken care of. And money flows in when you need it, and it is released as you don't need it. And so that's a beautiful thing for all of us to remember as we're in this release phase, you know, letting go of our story. So, Shannon, I know you also have a couple of things that have been really excellent resources. Tell the folks on the call today about the Conscious Living Space Network. It's an international network you have.
Yeah, so we have Conscious Living Space. It is a site where like-minded individuals have been coming together to network. They post blogs, so there's all types of health blogs, personal empowerment blogs. There's even recordings, MP3s. There's videos. There's different discussions that are happening. It is, you know, it can be like Facebook, and it links with Facebook and Twitter, but a lot more. I even have coaches use it for private groups. It's a great resource, and it's something that I, in my business, we charge people $300 to be a part of, and now I've just opened it up for free. I just want people to, you know, at the core of this is the more we come together and surround ourselves with like-minded individuals, the more our light shines, and mm-hmm. So it's been a great vehicle. There's some remarkable, I mean, there's a number one. There's people that have been on HBO, Stuart Levine's on there. There's a lot of really remarkable people that you can find on the site.
So excellent. We will go ahead and have Shannon go ahead and forward that information to us so that we can post it on the product download replay page. So if you go there, look for her picture, her profile. Underneath, you'll see a button that says resources, free resources. We'll make sure that's available. And check it out. You know, community can be everything. And you've heard her say how she had a number of coaches at one time. We can support each other. And that's really the beauty of the work that we do today, collaboration, cooperation, supporting each other. You know, we can make our light shine. We can help each other move forward and make it a rich, rich journey. I want to also highlight, because we've asked all the different teachers to come in with different resources that might support you on your journey. And so can you share, Shannon, what you've brought as an offering today?
Yes, I love helping people break through, whether it's in business or even personal breakthrough. So I have offered to do a 30-minute coaching session for anybody that wants to participate. And, I mean, it could be anything around the Dare to Live Challenge. There may be personal, you know, I've had people that are going through foreclosure or transition in a relationship or transition in a job, which is great. Or it could be, you know, you've heard a little bit about my resume and getting millions in free press and joint ventures and, you know, I've helped thousands of businesses. So I can, that would also be a part of the 30-minute session.
And I really want to encourage you, if you're resonating at all with what Shannon is saying, really check into that, because this is a powerful, don't waste the opportunity. By upgrading to the one of the packages, you can get that as a free resource as part of that upgrade. And we know that any kind of breakthrough can happen. Her experience, her passion, and also her ability to help move people through to get their own breakthrough is really pivotal. So if it's resonating with you at all, check it out. That might be a little nudge that's a direction, someone that you might be able to relate with, and that would be a great resource for you. So definitely check it out if you're feeling that nudge. I also wanted to highlight, because you have an event coming up, and folks might be in the area. So can you tell us about the event that's coming up on July 9th?
Yes. So I just got promoted to managing director of the Exura Entrepreneur Institute. So we are starting some entrepreneur training throughout the nation. But on July 9th, right outside of L.A., I'm doing a how to get thousands of dollars in free press. And so that's, you know, a great opportunity for people to come and learn, you know, how to create a power bio, how to get in the media, and how to get on the radio, all those amazing. We spend lots of money. We may not get the results. This is a way to do it and get your name out there. So,
and if they were interested in following up, would they just go to your website? Where would they go to find out about how to get thousands of dollars in free press?
Yeah, they could actually email info@shannonburnett.com. It's on the, I know they're working on the website for the event, but they could just email info@shannonburnett.com.
Excellent.
I'd be happy to send them a complimentary pass.
Terrific. So July 9th, if you're in the area or interested in going how to get thousands of dollars in free press, contact info@shannonburnett.com, and she'll be able to get that information to you. All right, we're winding down, Shannon. We just have just a few more minutes. Would you help us close out today's conversation? And what would you say to inspire someone who is struggling and in pain today?
Well, I love telling people my secret to healthy living. And I think it's really, really key. And one is hugs are just amazing. And, you know, I think that they say that we need at least 8 hugs a day, and I know some people are like, they haven't gotten a hug in a couple of weeks or a month, or, you know, so create that environment, whether you go to meetup.com or go to church or somewhere where you can get that heart connection, that physical connection, or get a massage or somewhere where you can get that touch. So those are really essential for that. And then I think we need at least 3 belly laughs a day. And, you know, I that could be watching funny YouTube videos. That could be watching a funny movie. That could be, you know, doing something fun with your friends. But belly laughs are, like, so essential for healing and really keeping us alive and light. And I, you know, a third thing would be just keep focusing on what the good stuff is. You know, if you can at the end of the day write down 3 things you're grateful for, keeping that mind in that positive space, that positive attitude. If you're in pain, whether it's physically or in a loss, the more you can be present with it and acknowledge it is good. I'm not saying avoid, but also looking at all those beautiful gifts around you and, you know, even a 60-second meditation, seeing how many things can I get in 60 seconds that I'm grateful for, can really shift perspective. So,
well, thanks, Shannon. Thank you for sharing your incredible story. Thank you for being an example to all of us of what is possible. You can step out with $100 in your pocket and actually have door after door after door open up to you. So thank you so much.
Yes, and thank you for your work. And I'm so excited to listen to all the speakers. I think it's just so needed what you're doing right now as people are going through this transition.
Appreciate you. All right, for those of you listening, hang tight. I've got a few more announcements. I'm going to help guide you through the rest of today's program. So hang tight, and I'll be right back. Hi, and this is Anastasia. I'm back again with you live. You know, I as I sit here and listen to these interviews and I've gone through the program, I can imagine that you are getting a number of different takeaways. And I just wanted to remind you that one of the intentions I set, or when I went into creating this program, was to allow enough time for the information to settle. That's why we actually made it over a period of 4 weeks rather than going into a 2-week period. So I know we've heard a lot of very terrific information, great information from these teachers who not only live it, but who are actually out there modeling what is possible for us, showing us that there are different ways, different avenues to align with your destiny path. So we are very appreciative to Shannon, who was a great reminder to me, again, as to all of us, that we can ask for what we need, and God is our source, and we can trust in that. So I want to thank Shannon. She was unable to be here with us for the live portion. And this, as we move into the live portion, we are very, very happy to be able to welcome Andrea Hyland, and I'll just open up her line in just a moment. But we want to acknowledge Shannon for all the information that she brought forward today and wish her much continued success. She was instrumental in pulling a number of different speakers, as I mentioned in here, without even asking for it. So she really does walk the talk. She was a fantastic resource and someone I hadn't really known before. So I wish her much continued success and many blessings her way. All right, so let's go ahead and shift gears. I want to make sure I have as much time to offer Andrea Hyland to our program. Let me just give you a real quick introduction. We are now moving into what we're calling our Real Reinventions, Real Inspiration Spotlight. And we have offered and made a determination right from the beginning that we wanted to bring in people who have incredible conscious reinvention stories, that they've gone through things, they've decided where it is they're feeling led to be able to make a difference in the world, and they're out there doing that. And that can show up in so many different ways. And so we wanted to carve out some time to not only let you share your stories with us, but wherever we could, to actually highlight them live in the program. And so that's what we'll be doing now with Andrea. Andrea, are you there?
I am, Anastasia. Thank you so much for inviting me to come on and talk about some real-life experience.
Now, it is my pleasure. I know that you have got quite a story. To just give everyone on the call just a bit of background, Andrea's husband died in 2005, and she began to really look deeper within her to understand what the dreams that she had with her husband, you know, how to kind of move through that transition, and then also to be open enough to the new ideas, dreams, and passions that were coming forward. I know that also Andrea has a number of different experiences with the death of her brother, son, husband, friends, and grandparents, and that has actually transitioned. She's been able to take the pain of those experiences, transform them to be able to help and serve others, and she's doing that as a transition and grief coach, if I remember correctly. Is that right, Andrea?
Yes, and, you know, even with that, it's always evolving what I call it. But, yes, I help people with transition, with transforming, really, grief, loss, and change in their lives.
Mm. So I want to make sure I can kind of step out of the way and give you more time. How would you like to do this? I can kind of do a live interview format, or would you rather just share your story? Which would be more comfortable for you?
Well, you know, maybe I'll just start talking and then jump in, and we'll do, you know, my radio show. I have a radio show on Monday mornings, and I always think of it as two women or a man and a woman sitting down and having a cup of tea and having a conversation, so just like two friends. You know, I'll just start sharing a little bit. I mean, I was thinking about how did I even get involved with the grief transformation work that I do. And it was never really a goal in my life to work in the field of grief. But there was a period of time about a year ago where I realized that's what I had been doing. And the work I'm doing today really evolved out of 50 years of personal experience of loss, change. And that people were coming to me, the people who were attracted to working with me, were attracted to learning about how was I able to release so many things in my life? How was I able to go on living after my son died and after my husband died? How could I go out into the world and go to 78 Jonas Brothers concerts, which certainly sounds like a lot of freedom and joy, which I did with my teenager? You know, how could I have so much loss? So that's really what led me to looking at, wow, maybe I do have something here that I've been offering all along. And I think sometimes that's actually how we're called to our destiny, is that we have experiences in our life that mirror to us what we've learned and what it is that we have to offer. I learned that my work was really emerging out of learning to stand up for who I am. I mean, my formal education is in social work, leadership, peace ministry, life energy coaching and what I call a 25-year-long deep commitment to personal and professional growth to really discover who am I and what do I have to offer in the world. And that's emerged in other ways. But it was really healing my own voice and learning how to individuate within a community that led me to be able to do this work and to speak about it.
And when you say heal your voice, what do you mean by heal your voice?
Well, that's a good question. It's almost like something that I feel, and the words are... What happens over time that I've observed in myself and others is that when we have experiences that kind of shut down our hearts, and we do that not out of, I don't say it out of judgment, I say it out of learning how to really survive in the world. You know, that sometimes, like after the loss of a loved one, the greatest gift we can give ourselves actually is to go numb for a little while, give ourselves some time to do that. But when there are enough losses that happen or we have disappointments or discouragement, I've seen with people that there is, like, we're afraid to ask for what we want in the world. We forget to dream. We forget that we have a bigger voice within us that really wants to come out. And so healing my voice, I see as healing a story in our lives or healing the stories in our lives, so that we can get past the story, connect with our deep essence of who we are, and then allow the next steps in our lives to emerge. You know, I'll give an example that my son had a congenital heart defect, and he, for 19 months, was this amazing teacher for us, teaching us how to live life even with an illness and one challenge after another. And after he died, I gave birth 2 weeks later to my fourth child. And it was that experience that really taught me about grieving and living life with joy at the same time. But I needed to, over time, learn how to open my heart again, to trust life, to trust that, you know, that maybe my fourth child would be taken from me, or, you know, the fears that begin to come, like, okay, well, if that happened, maybe other things could happen that are difficult. So when we can heal some of those moments in our lives and begin to look at all the gifts that we've learned from the experiences, from the losses, from the challenges, it's like filling your lungs with air again and knowing that there's more out in the world. So that's part of the way that I see healing my voice.
Wow.
You know, and being able to express who you are in the world. You know, it's funny. I don't know if there's a segue into this, but I was just thinking about one of the questions that you've been asking people is a big aha in your life.
Yes.
Like, where have you had this big aha? And I realized recently that, well, first of all, I think my whole life has been one big aha. There it is again. And probably I described the most recent one is when I realized that releasing has now become an everyday event. And that when I release the need to know all the answers or have the details lined up, even when I have this really strong inspiration that leads me to something, and I'll think, oh, I see it, the 8-month plan, it's there, yay, I have some idea what I'm doing on the planet again. And then after a month, it's like, detour, nope, that just was to get you excited about starting this next thing. And then you go, oh, okay, well, now what? You know, it's like just release, release, release. Don't get attached to any of these. And I was thinking about how last November I woke up in the middle of the night, 5 nights in a row, and I had this inspiration to host radio shows over the holidays and talk about grief transformation. And on the first night that I woke up, I thought, radio shows, like, what would that look like? I'm not a radio show host. Where did this idea come from? And I just kind of twirled it around in my mind, and I thought, okay, well, go back to sleep. I had just started a Blog Talk radio show with a friend, and we had this idea that we were going to have two shows a month, and we were going to talk for 30 minutes about what is it like to live on the planet right now with uncertainty and change and shifting, and we were just going to model it out in the world. Like, that's all we were going to do, have a conversation. So after that first show, that's when I started having this thought. Second night, I wake up again, and I'm going, okay, show me something here. What am I doing? Reading articles I've written? I'd written 70 articles on grief transformation in a matter of months.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, maybe that's what it is. And the third night, all of a sudden I connected. Wow, it even just brings up emotion for me now because it was so powerful. I just connected my heart with the pain that people are in the world. I connected with the grief and the uncertainty and people not knowing where to go next and why things were falling apart. And I realized that I had a message and that I could offer some comfort over the holidays. So the fourth night, I woke up and I said, okay, I need more details. I'm on board. Just show me the way. You know, show me the way. And so it did evolve into 44 shows between right before Thanksgiving until right after New Year's. And I really got the strong inspiration to be on the show live for Christmas and Christmas Eve and Thanksgiving Eve and New Year's Eve because it felt like I just wanted to be a voice in the dark. I just wanted to say, I'm here. I hear you. I feel you. I know you're in pain. And it's going to be okay. You're going to make it. You know, and that was like just this aha of living in the moment, trusting that we're led to that. I wrote family and friends, and I said, I'm not going to do anything around the holidays this year. I just feel this strong calling. This is my present to you, to the world, to this holiday season. That's what I'm here to do. And I think it's that willingness to release the expectation that we know where we're going, release the control over having, you know, I mean, I don't have a three-year plan anymore. I might have things that I think would be cool to do or be, but I'm showing up every morning. I'm grateful that I woke up and that's what I'm here to do. And I think the things that have really helped me get through all these different changes and losses, one is cultivating stillness of some sort. And that can be a minute, that can be 5 minutes, that can be whatever time, you know, you have. It can be meditating or connecting with nature. It can be if you work in an office, just looking out the window for a minute at the wind, the tree, a flower. Something that really brings you into the center of who you are and removes you from the stories in your life. And then listening to your heart. You know, it's some of the times that I really, well, I'll just say probably the hardest release that I ever had in my life of anything was when I left my first marriage. And it's because I was breaking a family pattern that you stay in the marriage no matter what. And it was an abusive alcoholic marriage. And after that moment of listening to my heart, even though there was no one else who saw it, no one else who understood, and I actually lost contact with my family and friends for a period of time because they just thought I had gone crazy. My daughters, who are 27 and 26, thank me now that I left the marriage when they were 2 and 3. So you have to just trust and listen to your own heart. And even when you don't see the results right away, that to have that connection with your heart and to learn to follow it. Another thing that I'll just share is creating a strong system of support that evolves and changes around you. And I'll tell you, I went through a really big challenge back in January because my husband had died in 2005, and then I'd sold his business, and someone else's bankruptcy meant that I lost almost $200,000. And so all of a sudden, I had to figure out, how am I going to support myself? I mean, it just seemed like all money stopped for me in a period of time. And then I started working, but there was a delay in getting paid for a few months, and I was facing a possible eviction for 2 months. And there was a group of people who had gone to a retreat with me who really formed this circle of support around me, believing in me, knowing who I am, just being there in email saying, we know that everything that's ever happened to you, you have learned from it. So we're here for you, and we know you're going to learn something about yourself, and we believe in you. So sometimes it's not the person who's necessarily your best friend or your family member who's going to be there to support. So just find ways of getting support. I mean, as crazy as it may seem, Facebook fan pages sometimes are amazing to just go and have another voice telling you their story or that something's going to be okay. So I don't know. I could probably go on and talk more, but I don't know. Is there something you'd like to know, Anastasia? Or?
No, you know, I have to tell you, Andrea, I feel your heart. First of all, thank you for being of service. You made me want to cry. Sitting here like blinking back the tears. I feel your heart. I feel, you know, the pain you have been through, and yet you continue to say, here am I, use me. Here am I, use me. So thank you for being there during the holidays for those people who probably some of them wouldn't be there if they hadn't heard your voice. So thank you for being there for them. How would you say has aligning with your destiny path impacted your life today? How do you see that?
You know, it's interesting. It's a great question. I mean, the first thing I think is to not get attached to what you think is your destiny. And I just want to put that out there because, you know, for me, it took me 3 years to birth a nonprofit called Heal My Voice to really bring that clarity and structure. And in April, I thought I saw the path. That was the thing I actually thought I saw the path for the next 8 months. And it actually propelled me into getting support to fly from California to Baltimore to start the first project there. And everything started, and the first project's going great. It's a 9-month project, and they're in the first couple of months. But then everything shifted a month later. Hmm. And so being in alignment with my destiny is probably to live a life of moment-by-moment release and listening. And so that being willing to focus on the first project continuing and then releasing the 8-month plan and just to stand in a place of uncertainty really led me to open the door to work with 6 new clients in the last few weeks.
Oh,
and the work with them is so powerful for me and for them. I was actually sitting and thinking about it this morning when I got off the phone with one of the clients, and I thought, wow, if I had been actively living that 8-month plan, I wouldn't have been available for this. And one of the things I actually do is social media coaching, which may not seem like grief transformation work, but what I do is I work with people on who are you, what is the work that you have, and what is the message that you want to get out in the world. And so I love Facebook and Twitter. And so I found that work many times leads us to looking at grief in someone's life or a way that they'd hold themselves back. And
yeah.
So that's some of the work I've been doing in the past few weeks. I've just had a few new clients. And, you know, so to me it's being in alignment with your destiny is really it's about being in alignment with yourself. And continuing to open to the reinvention. Reinvention is not about come here and listen to the calls and then make a plan and then you're a new person. Reinvention to me is about releasing day by day, moment by moment, so that you can keep clearing the way for what is the next thing that wants to emerge from you. And it's great that you have that people can purchase the calls, because it's the sort of information, everything that you've been gathering and all the speakers, where it's good to listen to it again and again and then say, wow, something just shifted again. How is this with my reinvention and of myself?
Yeah, beautifully said, because I think one of the things we've highlighted is that in this life we're given more and more opportunities for ever greater service, ever expanding service, to use our life experiences, and you've said that so beautifully.
Mm.
What would you say to someone who's struggling and in pain today?
Well, the first thing I would say is to acknowledge that you're in pain. I believe that one of the ways through the pain is to actually sink into it and feel the feelings,
mm-hmm.
feel what those are, identify them as, you know, are you feeling loss? Are you feeling sadness? Is it anger? Are you disappointed? To really feel that and then breathe into that. Breathe into those feelings. Sometimes for me it looks like actually sinking to my knees and having a good cry. Sometimes it means go out and walk until the feelings begin to dissipate a little bit. But, you know, if you sweep the feelings under the carpet without just taking a look at them, you just get this big mound in the middle of your living room of feelings that haven't been acknowledged. Honor that they're there. Honor that they're here to teach you something. And it can be as simple as saying, I see you, I feel you, you know, acknowledging that you're angry or sad, and then breathe into that. And then as you acknowledge it, to find a way to move through it. I love to dance. I have been known to many a day feel the feelings and then turn on the music. And Firework by Katy Perry is a really good one. I'll just do a little promo for her. It's just so much incredible energy. And then, you know, to find a place where you can express it, I would say, is the last thing that I would say for now. And that could be with a friend. It could be in a journal or on some of the online chats that are available. And,
great tool.
You know, and just honor that it's part of the journey. You know what? The last thing that I want to say about that, this is what has popped into my mind. Let's imagine that 10 years ago you went on a wonderful vacation and you had this incredible waffle with coconut syrup. And every time you think about that place that you went, it's like you're there. You remember how you felt. You remember the moment of it. You may even remember what it tastes like. Well, it's the same way with any loss and struggle and grief. It's going to be, it's another part of your journey. And so by honoring it, know that those feelings are going to be there. And it's a part of what makes your life so rich, is to have all of these feelings. So I honor you on your journey, and just know that there are people out here to support you.
Fabulous. And if someone wanted to connect with you, Andrea, how would they do that?
Probably the best way is to go to my website, which you can either get there by AndreaHyland.com or LiveALifeWorthCelebrating.com. And then you can also email me at ahyland, H-Y-L-E-N, at mac.com.
Terrific. Well, I know you have been quite an inspiration to me, so I wish you much continued success, and you know I'll be following you on your journey, Andrea. I know great things are headed your way. Maybe another 78 Jonas Brothers concert.
Who knows? Who knows? That was an amazing journey, but you know, they're all great journeys. They're every one of them. And thanks so much for inviting me and giving me a chance to share some of my real life experience and being able to say I have survived many things, and I believe in the listeners that you will too.
All right, so this is Anastasia Montejano, creator of Visionary Leaders Breakthrough, and Andrea Hyland of Live a Life Worth Celebrating, reminding you don't really have to trade your life for a paycheck. So we wish you much blessings and success on your conscious reinvention journey. And so we're going to close out our class for today. Our next program will resume again. Our next class day will be next Thursday, where we'll have another really full program. But again, thanks so much, Andrea, for being here, for sharing your inspiration and your success.
Thank you.
All right, bye for now.
Okay, bye-bye.